Blog Talk Radio.
Jeremy Espy, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Expected to be joined by former NFL safety, Minnesota Vikings safety, Robert Griffith, who will give us his perspective on the Randy Moss situation. If you lived under a rock or haven't heard, Randy Moss has been waived by the Vikings and picked up by the Tennessee Titans. So we'll talk about that. And also, Corey Almeida, host of Picturica on the Hub Network, he's going to come on and talk about the show. And also, he's going to come on and talk about some sports. He's a big sports fan. So we're going to talk some sports with Corey Almeida and Robert Griffith here today on Go For It. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, this was a great week for me and my Bay Area fans.
Well, your Bay Area fandom and the rest of your Bay Area boys. It's a good time definitely for you guys. Should be dancing in the streets. They won the World Series 4-1. Dominating pitching.
The interesting thing, and this is another great segue, rubbing it in a little more. You know, the great thing about the Bay Area, since I've been out here, what I've seen, Paul, is what great, you know, cardiovascular shape they're in. You know, they party well into the night, and because they're in such great shape, you know, they get right up and they can handle their business the next day, unlike others.
And speaking of which, my beloved Donovan McNabb, he's a guy right now who is not doing very well. He was a We all know the story. Sunday against the Lions, final drive, Redskins down 31-25. Guess who comes into the game? Guess who leads the offense on the field? Not Donovan McNabb. No. Rex Grossman. And to me, in that type of situation, disrespect, that's just like my wife leaving me for a 300 or 400, 500-pound man. I mean, if for anybody to be replaced.
That hurts, but
to be replaced by Rex Grossman.
Wow,
you compared
the benching of a horrible quarterback to your wife committing adultery. Wow, you really do love
that. What a 500-plus-pound man. If she committed adultery with me with Denzel Washington, then, you know, I can understand it. But with a 500-pound man, I can't really understand that too well.
Wait. So you're saying it would be acceptable for your wife to commit adultery, just not with an obese individual?
Correct. But let's get to Donovan.
Let me get to Donovan.
You're talking to a big Donovan McNabb guy. I love the guy.
Can we cue the song, Paul?
No. It's not time for the song. It's not a good time for Donovan right now. I mean, he's
maybe
he's 25th in QB rating, a beautiful 76 QB rating, the lowest since his rookie year. Yeah, he's not having a good year. I mean, 7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. They talk about the situation. I mean, it's been well known that There's been some issues with his clutchness over the years, but over this year, if you look at it, at end of the half situation, Donovan is zero touchdowns with two interceptions, and in fourth quarters of games this year, when his team was within 7 points or less, he has thrown zero touchdowns and three interceptions. The guy's struggling, and if you look at it, if you look at their four wins, the Bears game, Jay Cutler gave that to them. If you look at the Packer game, he played well there, and he deserved the victory there. Look at the Cowboy game. He didn't play well there. Cowboys actually had a touchdown at the end of the game, which was called back because of a holding penalty. So you look at that situation. Even look at the Eagle game where he didn't play well at all. He threw for 125 yards. And if it wasn't for that sandwich hit on the Mike Vick, I think the Eagles would have won that football game. So let's be real here. Donovan McNabb is not having a good year. But you can't disrespect a guy of his stature and his ability.
Here's the question.
By taking him out in 3 minutes drill because of alleged of cardiovascular endurance, lack of, and not knowing the offense as well as Rex Grossman, who has been in the system for a year. He played under Kyle Shanahan in Houston with the Houston Texans, so he knows the system a lot better than McNabb. But still, Rex Grossman.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think, you know, there's no Rex. Basically, they might as well waive Donovan McNabb. The Redskins might as well waive Donovan McNabb. This experiment.
Oh, and I forgot. DeMarcus Russell was in for a workout.
Well, you know that, and he's sipping on a, you know, sipping on a little what's that called that he's sipping on?
Syrup.
I mean, so you know. I don't disagree. I think they really should have just waived them. I mean, what like the Vikings do. I can say this: your lust for this man is insatiable. You know, obviously, you know, we're gonna put a prayer group together for you because it's I think prayer can help people. I mean, we talked about that earlier in the day. So if we all look at ourselves, you know, we recognize, you know, we don't always speak evil. So I'm gonna stay positive with you, but. You need help, Paul, because he sucks. And I'm not saying the way the Redskins handled this.
Before you say he sucks, I mean, look at the weapons that he has around him. Look at that offensive line. Offensive line stinks.
Whoa. Who said that?
The offensive line stinks, and the weapons around him stink as well. But continue.
But Paul, let me just say this. I told you that in the offseason. I also told you in the offseason, because of the fact that he doesn't have any weapons, which you denied, you said that they do have some weapons, and Donovan made a bad Eagles team look great, and you were the one. So I'm going to use your arguments against you. You comment that, you know, because Donovan didn't do what he had to do, look at where they're at. I mean, you say that he made average Eagles receivers look great. These are better core of receivers than the Eagles had. They have a better tight end.
Well, I think at the time, at that stage of his career, he did have the ability to make others around him a lot better. At this stage of his career, he's not the same guy. Obviously,
so
not the same
I think
player.
The Vikings. I think the not the Vikings. The I think the you know the Skins took a chance on seeing what stage of the career he's in, and he's in the stage of his career where he needs to retire. What Shanahan did was stupid.
Period. I wouldn't have done this. I would have played this and let this go. I think it was just it borderlines on you know, you're now starting to see if you're in a Redskin contingent or you're a fan base of that Redskins organization. Shanahan, for whatever his reason, he may be in the latter stage of his career because he's crazy. I think what he did in the offseason, what he's doing now with McNabb, I mean, he wanted McNabb, number one. But this is stupid. Benching the guy is one thing, but the comments that come out, you know, between him and, you know, his son, it's just silly. You know,
well,
they should have known better.
Him allegedly not knowing the offense, Donovan.
I think you're seeing Donovan too come out and talk to reporters and make it very clear. You know, he tries to backstep and show people, well, it's certainly you know, it isn't him, because he said it and made it very clear, it's not so much him not knowing the offense as much as, you know, it's the fact that, well, period, point blank, you know, Donovan said it, look at what he has to work with. And, you know, he's practicing and...
And the way I look at it is, I mean, Donovan has not had a great year. But he does, I mean, if you look at the last time he was benched with the Eagles against the Ravens, benched after the first half, he was a guy that came back strong down the stretch, ultimately got the team into the playoffs, and ultimately was essentially the drive away from getting them to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, if history repeats itself, this may be a good thing for Donovan. And ironically enough, his team is on a bye this week, but the week after, on a Monday Night Football, he plays his old team, the Philadelphia Eagles, in Washington. So, I mean, it should be interesting to see how that happens, see what happens there.
If Paul, he makes it that far. Don't.
Well, and you never know. I mean, you never know. You could wake up
I
tomorrow
can tell you
and hear
that like, this situation
could be starting quarterback.
It's this situation, in my opinion, is far from over. It's being dredged out in front of the media. And that's why I say, if you're Donovan, the last thing a struggling quarterback needs is to be publicly humiliated. I mean, I think if he's a professional, and Donovan I especially think wants to come out and play well against the Eagles, but this is going to be hard for him to escape for the next, the week going into the game. They're off, and I'm sure Donovan's going to disappear, and I think he wants to disappear. But coming back into this, it's going to swell up again because they had a week off. No one could talk to him, and all they're going to want to do is just dredge this up. Plus, the fact that they're playing the Eagles, in my opinion, won't help any of this because this is basically what you're going to hear here first, and then next on, you know, all the outlets, which is everyone's going to say that kudos to Andy Reid because he knew that Donovan McNabb was over, and the Eagles made out like bandits. They dumped a bad quarterback, and they got in exchange.
You're right, I mean, in a lot of ways, and I said that over the summer that maybe Andy knows something because over the years this organization has been right and knowing when to cut the ties. Bobby Taylor, Hugh Douglas, Troy Vincent, the list goes on and on. They know when it's time, and they know when that player is on the downside of their career, and they know when that player may be done. So they know, they reacted on some level, and again, the Redskins can still turn this thing around. They're 4-4. They're in a conference,
no
the
way.
NFC, which Forget
is not about
strong.
It. Impossible.
It's not
no way to turn.
It's not a strong conference, and it's a conference in a lot of ways that's weak in a lot of ways. So, I mean, if you look at it, it's open. The NFC is open. I mean, who's the best team? Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, are they the best team in the NFC? Record-wise, they're up there with Atlanta at 5-2. That's the two best teams in the NFC. Are the Falcons the best team in the NFC? I don't know. I can't say for sure they are. I don't think you can say for sure they are. Are the Packers the best team? I don't know. Are the New York Giants the best team? I don't know. Again, you don't know. You don't know. It's wide open in the NFC. And speaking of the NFC and the wide openness of the NFC, you have the situation with Randy Moss. Go ahead.
I have to say this. Like, I'm concerned, but I mean, the reason I'm concerned for you as a person, but I'm even more concerned the fact that you actually think the Redskins are going to be able to pull out of this. The bottom line is, I mean, they have obliterated the confidence of Donovan McNabb. They pretty much turned him to the wolves, and he's coming back and starting to jabber, which is going to throw him off his game. And you think the salvation in all of this it's going to be Rex Grossman?
Well, I got the sense that he took the benching in stride this time around, and the way I look at it is this: he took it in stride. But if you look at the whole situation,
he came out on Monday.
If you look
Paul,
at it,
and what did he say on Monday? I mean,
he took everything in stride. He didn't go after the coaching staff. He didn't ruffle any feathers.
They asked him how he feels about the offense coordinator, and one comment he made, something along the lines, "Well, we're doing great. Didn't you see the way that we were walking hand in hand going into the locker room?" I mean,
but I mean, again. again, he has he's still, that's not enough. He hasn't ruffled any feathers in this situation.
The problem is really ruffling feathers. It's not about ruffling feathers with Shanahan, Paul. The bottom line is, you know, Shanahan was the one that aired the quote-unquote dirty laundry. Donovan's going to be the guy now that's going to have to deal with all these, you know, reporters just basically day after day after day hitting him over the head with what his head coach thinks about him. And just so you understand, it wasn't Paul, let me finish, it wasn't Mike Shanahan that, you know, went back and said the things that his son said. And the reason that his son said it is because somebody had to step up and make sure that everyone understands that the only chance they had to win is with Donovan McNabb. But obviously, Shanahan doesn't really care if it's with or without Donovan, because it wasn't Shanahan that said, you know what, I was wrong to say that. It was his lackey son. The offensive coordinator, lackey, first mate scrubbing the deck, because it's not going to be dad coming out and saying, you know what, I'm a Hall of Fame coach and I made a mistake to say that against a Hall of Fame quarterback. No, Shanahan sits there indignant and says, I'm not going to apologize and I don't care if I ruin this season because of my big mouth.
Well, I don't think he didn't find the right words to say. And he came up with a couple of different excuses. But at the end of the day, he's obviously not happy. The actions speak louder than words. He's obviously not happy with the performance of Donovan McNabb through this season. And it showed by him taking him out during a two-minute drill. And let's be real, Donovan hasn't played well at all. And so it's very understandable what happened and why they did what they did. Let's take a caller. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Wonderful. I wanted to make two quick comments. My first comment would go back to what Paul said. The street name is the syrup, but the pharmaceutical name will be promethazine with codeine. That's what he was sipping on. And
well,
hopefully...
Well, we appreciate the clarification.
I thought the streets was syrup. But I wanted
to
make a comment about Donovan McNabb that I haven't heard anywhere yet, which is the fact that Donovan is not known to win a game for you, but there has been times where he could control a game and be ahead of the game, and the defense can win it for him. But can we ever really remember a game that Donovan, in the last 2 minutes or the last even 3 minutes of that matter, can come in and score a touchdown to win the game?
Being
a Philly fan and watching, I can't remember. I can remember four NFC Championship wins or games, and he just can't finish the game, and that's his MO.
I'll bring up 4th and 26. I mean, against the Packers in that NFC title game.
Well, if you're going to bring
NFC
that up,
divisional
I think
playoff
the caller
game,
may need to throw
where,
up. Well,
where Donovan
4th and 26 was an aberration. That was a joke.
Oof.
I mean.
Well, so are you going to say the same thing about Eli Manning's? Are you going to say the same thing about Eli Manning's throw to David Tyree in the Super Bowl? Aberration.
26 was 1% McNabb and 99% the People's Champ.
Well, I mean, Donovan had to get it there, and Freddie did make a good catch and a good play there. But again, Donovan
had a wonderful catch.
Wonderful catch.
The ball was nowhere near Freddie.
But also, if I look back at the NFC title game, he did have the last drive there, but he did put his team in position to win. The defense didn't hold. But if you look, so he did put his team in position to win. And again, I mean, in terms of Donovan going to go down as the all-time clutchest quarterback in the game, no. Is he proven to be a winner in this game, in this league, over his time in the league? Yes, I would have to say that, and I think anybody would say that. I mean, he had 5 NFC title games, 1 Super Bowl appearance, and, I mean, he's done a lot, and he has the resume.
But the sad part
but
is
he'll
always
being
clutch, be remembered for his Super Bowl appearance where he vomited on the field.
Well, the Ocho Show, baby.
Well, he did throw up his lunch and his dinner. Or breakfast, maybe, on the field that day. And, again, when running the two-minute drill in that situation, they took their time, and it ultimately cost them in that game because they scored. But when they scored, it was kind of too late. But again, I mean, in terms of that, I mean, you do bring up a fair point about Donovan. And again, I'm not going to argue that, and I'm not going to say he's the clutchest quarterback out there. He's not going to go down as John Elway, as Joe Montana, as even Ben Roethlisberger, for that matter, in terms of being a clutch quarterback. But I will say about the guy, he has proven to be a winner.
It's amazing. You're in love, Paul.
I mean, you're smitten.
Well, if you want to call it love.
Vince is putting it softly.
Say hey, McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody say McNabb.
Yeah, they need to save him, Paul, but not the Eagles. The Eagles are flying high without him.
That they are. They are flying very high without him, and Michael Vick will return this week. But also, if you look at the NFC, you have the situation with Randy Moss. You have that situation where Moss was waived by the Vikings on Monday. It was became official on Tuesday. Surprising to a lot of people. I mean, Minnesota gave up a third-round draft pick for the guy. And now they pushed him along, and ultimately he signed with the Tennessee Titans today, actually. They picked him up on a waiver claim, and you know, so he will finish the year in Tennessee. But it's shocking. I mean, Moss did have those comments at the end of the game, the post-game press conference, where he just – it was a love fest for the Patriots, talked about how much he loved them. And he criticized his coaching staff and Brad Childress, talking about maybe they could have got that field goal at the end of the half there, or the situation where they really didn't listen to him about some of the things and the tendencies of the Patriots. So all those things, you look at those that situation with Randy Moss, and
well, that Paul, and you know as well as I do, that was disgustingly interesting for me when you talk about criticisms. Favre is openly critical almost weekly, and certainly all of last year, of Childress, and nothing occurs of it other than banter back and forth. Rightly so, you know, Moss was openly, rightly so, Moss was critical. When they throw the guy, and I think what you saw was a lot of frustration for Moss. I think that the only comments so far have come out of that camp, meaning the Vikings camp, is that the trade for Moss was a mistake. It's pretty obvious that he didn't want, he definitely did not want Moss on that team, because he made short order to get rid of him when really it's not Moss they needed to get rid of, it was Favre. I mean, to put all this on Moss.
But you openly last week, it was almost a love fest with you and Brett Favre talking about, Tavares Jackson, 60% of Brett Favre is better than 100% of Tavares Jackson. And so it was a love fest with
that's
you
Paul.
About
listen,
Brett
just
Favre.
Just because
you
have
in love with
stalkerish
the guy.
Tendencies, just because you have stalkerish tendencies, do not make me
it was a love
I'm
fest
not
between
saving
you and
Brett
Favre.
I don't think
I mean,
songs
I
for
thought
grown
you
men.
Were going to make a song about
oh,
Brett Favre.
I don't think songs of grown
but,
men.
I mean, if you look at Brett Favre, I'm a guy. This guy is the lowest rated quarterback in the league. He's a turnover machine right now. And as far as I'm concerned, Brett Favre is only playing to uphold that streak. It's all about the streak for Favre at this point. And, I mean, he wants to win, and then Brett Favre is a winner, and he wants to win. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I think also he's playing, it's about this streak. I think Brett needs to sit down. I think he needs to I think they need to bring Tavares Jackson in. But Brad Childress can't sit Brett Favre down. He can't do it. He can't do it. So this is where he had to show that he was boss, he was tough, he was running this organization, and he was the guy that got rid of Randy Moss. And I think it was a power play on some issue, on some level, excuse me, by Brad Childress. I mean, it didn't make sense to me to get rid of Randy Moss. He's a guy that you gave up a third-round draft pick for. He's a guy who's proven that he can draw defenders to him. He's a guy that still has some good football left in him. And he's a guy that, without Sidney Rice, gives you some juice at that wide receiver position and opened it up for Percy Harvin, who's been playing very well of late.
Well, I mean, you're going to sit there and you certainly want to deflect, you know, your admiration for a grown man, you know, which we're still praying for you on. But I never, what happened last week in regards to talking about Tavares Jackson, so we can be clear on this, was simply to say I don't think Tavares Jackson is ever going to be the answer for this ball club. That being said,
but is he better than a 41-year-old Pope?
No,
down
he's not.
Brett Favre?
I think what you saw, but that's what I said. I think what you're seeing out of this organization. Let me be clear. That game against the Patriots should have been an embarrassment. Randy Moss was there. Now, you know, he can be a factor. Favre is their problem. You know, defenses now are keying in on their weak link, which is Favre, and you're seeing it. He can't get the ball to Moss. Period.
And also, but the defense hasn't been that great either for the Vikings. They've been okay, but they weren't as good as last year.
How can they be great? But you know what? Let's keep it real. How can they be great when they're on the field a lot more? I mean, now again, next week you'll probably say that I'm in love with the defense. I'm telling you, I think it was a shame what happened to Moss. They make him the scapegoat because they don't have the balls to really put the onus where it is. And I don't disagree with you. Maybe instead of cutting Favre, you say, okay, well, you know what? You know, last week you had an issue, an injury issue. This week you have an injury issue. You got to sit. You know, the streak isn't helping us win ball games, and we're next in line to be Dallas. So,
the streak is great. I mean, it's a great streak. It's a great record. It's great. I mean, you're playing a contact sport, and you're basically a sitting duck in a lot of ways as a quarterback, and you found a way to play 290-plus straight games. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Paul, whether it be 290 and you end your career or the fact that you get injured, it's got to happen. You got to end it at some point. The streak's got to end. And I think if Favre, you're seeing he's not a team player, and I think the good thing for Randy Moss, I'm excited for him. I think he goes to a great team. He's, you know, positioned very well, and you know, everyone thought that this was going to be a big improvement for the Vikings, and I certainly think for a young quarterback in Young, I think, you know, and in fact, they have a strong running game, and they have some solid receivers in Tennessee, but Moss certainly will be, you know, definitively now their go-to guy. They have a tight end, emerging tight end, much like this Minnesota offense. But it'll be interesting to see what Vince Young can do with a Randy Moss versus Brett Favre. And I think Brad Childress may be the one that comes out of this, with everyone kind of looking at him and saying, "You're the problem." In that his ego to make mid-speed of Moss, but not be able to bench Brett Favre, to me, it's a little bit questionable in terms of how about his leadership.
But this is, not to call you out, but this is kind of an about face for you, because last week you talked about, again, and I quote you, who talked about this, a 60% Brett Favre is better than 100% Tavares Jackson.
I still believe that.
Tavares Jackson, which I astutely pointed out last week, was a guy who led the Vikings to the playoffs.
Let me make it clear, Paul. I'm going to tell you, I still believe that. And the reason I'll say it with such confidence, and I'll back it up, I firmly, firmly, firmly believe, period, point blank, I don't think that Tavares Jackson is an NFL-caliber starting quarterback. I think what you're seeing about Brett Favre is he's no longer one either. But I can still tell you that that's what you'll get with Brett Favre.
But you will get worse with
Tavares Jackson.
But that's about face from what you said last week.
No, Paul. The comment I said was a 60% Brett Favre is better than Tavares Jackson. I didn't anoint Brett Favre, the NFL of the league this year. I didn't say Brett Favre.
Look at Tavares Jackson. Back in 2007, as the Vikings, he played 12 games with the Vikings, threw 9 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Not great. 2008, the year the team went to the playoffs, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 95 quarterback rating. And if you look at that, he's a guy. He was young. He's a young quarterback.
He's been
in the league since 2006. This is his fifth year in the league. So he hasn't been the full-time starter. And he's still going through some growing pains. But I think at this point, I'm not saying sit Brett Favre out for the season. I'm saying sit him down for a game, get these things right, get all these, the ankle, the elbow, and anything else, get all those things right and give Tavares Jackson a shot. But a guy like you, again, 60% Brett Favre is better than 100% Tavares Jackson. But if you look at Brett Favre, he's last in QB rating, and he's become a turnover machine again. I mean, Brett Favre has always been a guy who's going to throw the ball out from time to time in his career, but he's thrown it up last year, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Now he's thrown it up again, and to the tune of 11 interceptions with only 7 touchdowns. And right now the Minnesota Vikings are 2-5. And we both predicted that this would happen. I mean, let's both give us some credit right now as well. And let's put this out there. You and myself both stated on this air that Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings would take a step back. And by golly, I think we're right.
You know, the thing is, Paul, I'll say this, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. And as I'm in shock that they chose Favre over Moss.
Well, I don't know if it's a situation where you're choosing one over the other. I just think it's a situation where maybe Moss was a distraction. I mean, some of the things he was saying in terms of criticizing the coaching staff, and I mean, it was a love fest for Bill Belichick and the rest of the Patriots organization. It was absolute love fest. But if you look at all that, and there was also a situation where allegedly Moss disrespected a local caterer who came in and left food for the ball club. Moss was a little disrespectful. You had that situation. And maybe there's some other things that went on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But, I don't think it was a situation where it was either Moss or Favre. I just think it was a situation where maybe Brad Childress thought that maybe Moss was a distraction and wasn't worth the headache. And obviously, I mean, if Moss was the Randy Moss who produced and still was producing, and he's not having a bad year. He has 4 touchdowns. And he's had 2 touchdowns with the Vikings while he was with them. But if you look at Randy Moss, I mean, he still has some game left in him. Obviously, it's not the Randy Moss of old, but he still has a game left in him. So, I mean, I look at that, and I look at Randy Moss. And I say, I mean, obviously with something going on behind the scenes, and obviously they feel like this guy can't help him. Or he could help him, but maybe the distraction that he brings to the table, distractions that he brings to the table, it's just not worth the headache.
Well, I don't think there's enough evidence to talk about a distraction. I mean, I think his numbers actually, he caught almost 200 yards, and I think it was, 3 or 4 touchdowns in the games he played, you know, with the Vikings. So they're not great numbers in terms of yardage, but again, he's scoring touchdowns for them.
Well, he had 174 yards and 2 touchdowns.
It was 4, and how many?
2 touchdowns with the Vikings, 174 yards.
In what, how many games?
Three games, I believe. The Jets.
So, right.
The Cowboys, and now the Patriots. So
right.
three games,
he scores 2 touchdowns. I mean, basically, that's all he did for the Patriots, and that's all he was doing for the Vikings. And here again, I mean, I think the comments he made after the game were clearly a frustrated guy who's a competitor who said maybe is trying to hint to the management that you're not letting me help you. He's not a first or second year player, Paul. It's a guy, you know, that's put some time in this league. And if he says, yeah, I have some tendencies, I think they owe it to him to say, well, we're going to listen to you.
Well, yeah, they do owe it to him to listen to him. And Brad Childress said he did listen to the guy, but I mean, I don't know, who knows? I mean, at this point, I mean, I think obviously with some behind the scenes things that we don't know about, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, you give a 3rd round draft pick for this guy, and you move along 3 weeks later. I mean, it was fast, just like that.
And,
it's over.
And Childress, but the reports are out, and Childress pretty much, without confirming them, confirmed them by saying that he never was on board with this move, which means the move came from the owner. And clearly, the minute, I guess, that they, you know, meaning the coaching staff and Childress could get him out of there, they dumped him. So they gave basically a 3rd rounder away, which I think is a lot. to give to just give. I'm surprised they just let him go. I think it was this was a very foolish move. If they're going to give him away, they also should get bench and theoretically look at long term at Favre.
And I would agree with you. But we're now being joined by our guest of the night, host of Picture Rica, on the Hub Network, Corey Almeida. Corey?
Hey there, how are you?
How are you, Corey?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing great, doing great. You're on with Paul Gann and Jeremy Espy and Corey. Right now, I mean, you're a guy who is known for your energy, and the way you answered this phone, Corey, you do have a lot of energy.
I'm trying to keep up with you guys. You guys are in it right there, talking about Moss and all that good stuff, so I'm just trying to match it.
Well, bring it on. What do you think about Moss in that situation?
Well, you know, it's all about catering, isn't it? I mean, when it comes down to it, it's all about a good meal. Aren't we all just trying to get a good meal? It is. It's a crazy situation, huh? Sports has been crazy the past couple of days. And there's so
a
much to talk about.
A lot of good stuff. I mean, you have the Randy Moss, the Donovan McNabb. I mean, the World Series ended. I mean, it's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, the three people that watched the World Series were thrilled, right?
I was one of them. Bay Area Yesby.
I mean, we're both big-time Phillies fans, so after the Phillies went out, I mean, I just couldn't stomach it anymore. I just couldn't watch it.
I'm a big Sox fan, so after August, I was done.
Right. And
of last year.
I mean, you guys suffered through a lot of injuries throughout the year.
Yeah, we took a beating. It was a tough one for us. It was a tough one. But you know what? I have some friends who are you know, diehard Giants fans. So good for them. And you know, it would have been cool to see Texas win the first one. But you know, it kind of just came and went, the World Series this year.
Yeah, it was quick, and it just didn't have any storylines really. It didn't have any juice.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because, you know, I heard a little bit of this, but the fact that, you know, the World Series used to happen in October, and now it's ending in November, and you've got basketball, baseball, football, and hockey on at the same time. I mean, it's like the perfect storm of sports. But the NFL is always going to win out.
Well, this is something that their baseball, this is their biggest downfall. There's too many games.
Yep.
It's too much. You know, they're back again. They leave now, and they'll be back again in early April. You don't even get a chance to miss them, and they're here again. It's too insignificant in its totality. No matter who, unless it's a World Series, maybe like a Dodgers, Yankees,
yep.
Or the Sox. Let's keep it real, Paul. We're 3 years in being relevant. I mean, that's baseball's biggest problem, is staying relevant in a sport that doesn't go. It's almost 24/7, and it takes 17 hours to do. You know, to have one game.
Yeah. And that's a quick one.
Right. where you play. You know, there's 16 football games, and then they're gone. And you know, but and certainly this has been an interesting year where it's been a lot of on and off the field relevant. You know, the NFL comes out with, you know, they're gonna enforce new rules in the middle of the season, which they haven't done in years. And in the last week, you know, two potential Hall of Famers in Moss and McNabb are, you know, in the throes of a career shift.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. There's more drama than Dancing with the Stars. It's out of control.
and speaking of Dancing with the Stars, we're a warm-up host, or are you still a warm-up host for Dancing with the Stars?
I am, yep. We just did our 200th episode, which is insane.
And your job is to kind of rev the crowd up. Talk about that.
Yeah, just basically the crazy super hype guys had too much Red Bull before the show starts. But I come out about 20 minutes before the show, get everybody screaming, get them partying. I mean, you know, for Dancing with the Stars, every show's got a little bit of a different energy. But Dancing with the Stars, because they want it so classy and elegant, you know, and so they've got everybody in suits and gowns, but yet they want them to throw down like it's a, you know, like it's an Offspring concert. So there's an interesting dynamic there where it's like, okay, Corey, your job is to get these folks, you know, all buttoned up in ties and gowns to go nuts. So, you know, I work them into a frenzy right before the show goes live, and then it's literally, You know, I always call it clapping with the stars because it's clapping for two straight hours. It's nonstop screaming, and you know, we'll have standing ovations going on, and you know, they're calling for more applause. And it's just like, what do you want, the crowd from Price is Right to come over and cheer too? I can't get everybody. But yeah, so basically I just whip them up and kind of let them know what they're going to expect, what type of what dances they're going to see, you know, Paso Doble, Tango, Viennese Waltz, and then, you know, prep them if there are any entrances through the audience. Just kind of, I'm kind of the go-between between the director and what's happening on the floor. So basically I kind of give them the flow of the evening, and I kind of go out there and help them get to where we need them. So just a hype man, crazy wild hype man.
And you also...
I want to, but I'm interested, Paul. How did you, like, how does that for you come about in terms of, and especially on such a successful show, you know, how do you keep yourself relevant, theoretically being behind the scenes, but being such a seemingly integral part of the show?
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's crazy because it's such a different experience, you know, when you're there live than when you're watching it on TV, and people don't realize what all goes into putting together that show. There are so many different factors and so many different equations, and so many people, moving parts that are going on, that when people get there, they're just blown away that much goes on. But it's become, for me, because I've been doing this now, you know, I've been doing the warm-up for 7 years now. This is my seventh season over at Dancing with the Stars. And so it's become a part where, like, I become part of the live events, you become part of it. People who come to the show, they're like, Corey, you're here. So, because there are certain times, because I also do American Idol, and during the spring, because Dancing with the Stars has two seasons a year. They do a spring season, and then they do a fall season. So during the spring, I'm only able to do one of the days because the other day overlaps with American Idol. So I'll do one day at Dancing with the Stars and 2 days at American Idol. So I've become kind of, you know, fun for the people who come live because they're like, you got to go and see this guy Corey. You got to see this guy Corey. Because people don't know about it until they get there. And then, you know, and then we just get our tweetage on and we rock hardcore at the old Dancing with the Stars show.
And Corey, you're a guy that is a dancer. You were a hip-hop dancer for a few pop artists. Talk about some of the pop artists that you danced for.
I did some stuff. I did some stuff with Mandy Moore. And you know, it's so funny is I worked on this show as a like a house dancer. So kind of like kind of like a solid gold dancer before for like a more current pilot that we shot. And then they found out that they wanted to pick up the pilot, but they needed a new host. So they actually had me come in and read to host it. So while I was dancing as one of the house dancers, I've done some stuff for Nickelodeon, some stuff for Disney. You know, I actually came in, and then that's how that kind of came about. I you know, auditioned to host it, ended up hosting the 15 episodes of this show before the Fox Family Channel was bought out by ABC Disney. But, I mean, I can remember sitting in the dressing room having Popeye's Chicken with Beyonce and the whole crew from Destiny's Child, and they were freaking out because they were going to perform Say My Name. And they're like, it's a brand new song. We don't know if anybody's gonna like this song, but we're gonna take a chance and we're just gonna do it on your guys' show. And I remember hearing it in the dressing room with Beyonce and Michelle and the whole crew eating Popeye's chicken, and I'm like, that song's ridiculous. And then obviously from there, it's, you know, nothing but the sky for them. They just took off. But yeah, so from there, and then that group split apart. Some of them went over to American Idol, and then that's how I got involved in the warm up. They called up and said, we need someone to get the crowd going and during these commercial breaks so we can keep the energy going and just build it as the show goes on. So one of the PAs on my show went over to Idol and said, I know this guy Corey, you know, he's a lot of fun. So they brought me into Idol, and then the rest is kind of history because folks would come over and see Idol, and then they're like, we want that guy. And then that's how I got Dancing with the Stars and So You Think You Can Dance and America's Got Talent and all that. And now that's transitioned into hosting Picturica. I was doing Dancing with the Stars, and one of the producers saw me at Dancing with the Stars and said, you'd be great to host our presentation to the Hub. Would you want to come and do that for us? And I said, sure. And they said, there's no chance you're going to get the job, and there's a slim chance we're going to get the show. And then as we went through rehearsals and created this show, it got, you know, to the point where it was like, we'd love to get this show, and we'll definitely throw your hat in the ring. And then it was like, we got to do this show, and you've got to be our host. So it was a, you know, an instant love affair between the producers and myself for Picturica. And then, you know, and then we were blessed with the opportunity and the show on April Fool's Day. Nonetheless, was when they called and offered me the show, and I said, "This could be the best and worst April Fool's joke ever." Because I love a good prank, but I'll be ticked if this is an April Fool's joke. But no, we did it, man. And so now we've got a great show that I'm extremely thrilled and blessed to be a part of. It's just an awesome show. Picture Week is a ton of fun. And so right now it's cranking along on the hub.
And talk about Picture Rica. Talk about the show and what goes on with the show.
It's based on a Hasbro board game, Picture Rica, and the catchphrase of the game is "Find it fast, find it first." And really, that's what it's all about. We've taken it, put it up on its feet, and it's all about these teams, which consist of two kids and a parent. So it's two kids and a parent against two kids and a parent. And we send them through mazes, we send them through ball pits, we smash balloons, we tie them together, as a three-headed monster. And it's all about finding these characters and these items, as fast as they can, racking up the fish points and scoring more than the other team. So by the end of the game, they can go to the bonus round and possibly win a trip to Fiji or Hershey, Pennsylvania or San Francisco. So we have a ton of great trips and a lot of fun. So it's very physical, it's super fast-paced. Lots of high energy. It's like Randy Moss digging through a buffet line trying to find a good meal. Basically what it is. That's basically how it's going. But it's a lot of fun. What was that?
Now, Corey, funny thing, I mean, it seems like when you go on and do those things at American Idol and do the thing at Dancing with the Stars, it's almost like T.O. and Terrell Owens. I mean, you go from Corey Almeida to Corey Live.
Exactly.
I mean, is it almost like that?
It kind of is. I've got to figure out how to say Corey Live in Spanish so I can put that on the back of a jersey. But it's kind of like that. It's a split personality thing. And honestly, when the show's over, because, most of these shows are live, so it's a sprint for 2 hours. And then at 2:01, I'm done. It's like click, I get in my car. And that's the one good thing about the traffic in L.A. is it takes me an hour to get 17 miles. So it'll take me an hour to get home. So I can just – I turn off everything, and I just kind of decompress and wind down because and you guys know this, constantly hosting shows is your mind is always working. You're always trying to be three steps ahead. Meanwhile, you're still listening to what's going on between the director. I mean, I'm talking to guests in the audience. Meanwhile, the director is telling me, be careful because the next shot we're using camera one and we're going to get a reverse shot of Tom and Brooke, so make sure you're cleared in 15 seconds. Meanwhile, I'm still in a conversation with this doctor from Memphis who's here because his wife wanted to come to the show, and trying to make that all happy and fun. So by the time those 2 hours are over, you're exhausted. I mean, you're totally spent, and then I have to go from Corey Live to Corey Almeida and relax, take a deep breath, and then, go home, chill out, hop in the jacuzzi, and call it a night.
And so, I mean,
but I don't drop as many balls. I don't drop as many balls.
One of the things that's interesting you just touched on is, especially the live TV, and in regards to how much is going on, especially like as doing the pre-hosting of these shows that are all live, and having you not just to gauge the timing of it, but keeping the fans like on pace for the commercials.
Yeah.
It seems like that must for you that must be a full-time job, being able to sense and get the crowd to where they have to be at the time they have to be there.
Yeah, it's totally because every night's different too. As you guys know, every guest on your show is different, so you don't know going into it. You can sit there and think this is going to be a great night, and then it just blows up in your face, and you're like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, we just had our 200th episode, and it was probably the toughest audience I've ever had to work because it was all VIP. It was every celebrity that's ever been on the show was invited back. So it was basically like a high school reunion of Dancing with the Stars. So we had seasons 1 through 10 celebrities. So and it almost gets to a point where they're fighting not to clap and have fun. It's like, come on, guys, all you have to do is clap. And when they don't do it, the regular fans who are there, they just follow suit. So if you don't get the celebs into it, then the fans are dialing out as well. So that's where it gets real tricky, and it was a long 2 hours. I mean, everyone there was like, man, you are earning your money tonight because it was a hustle. I mean, it was a real hustle. But luckily, you get some great people in the audience. Warren Sapp is Warren Sapp is awesome. Michael Irvin's awesome. Emmitt Smith, all those guys. Because I'm a big sports guy. Those are always
right.
my favorites on the show. You know, I always love to find out which athlete we're going to have on the show. And I have a blast with those guys. I'm always, you know, Warren and I are always talking smack. So we have a great time. And in fact, I was in the middle of doing the warm up, and he came across the floor and you know gave me a shot from behind. And then so I just called him on it and told him that'll be $75,000 as of last week's rule. So we have a blast and so I have a great time with them. But yeah, it can be tricky when you get those VIP audiences that are just packed. They've got their arms crossed, their legs crossed, and they're just sitting there as if they're at home watching it. It can get a little bit tricky, but you just got to know which VIPs are fun to play with, which ones will have fun with you, and once they loosen up, the others, you know, usually loosen up a little bit too, because, you know, Donny Osmond is a ham, and I love him, so he'll get right into it. He'll get right into it. So it is definitely tricky, and there are a lot of different factors, and although you may do a bit here that's a regular bit that you do, those bits change because everyone in the audience changes every night. So while you're doing the same show, your audience is different, and that's what I love. I love having a different audience in there because at the end of the day, it's all about them. It's not really about me. It's about their
right.
story, where they traveled from, and, you know, some of the stuff that people come up with, you can't write. So you might as well just let them be the stars, you know?
Right. We're talking to Corey Almeida, host of Picture Rica on the Hub Network. Now, Corey, you're a diehard Steelers fan, and right now your Steelers are 5-2 in first place, tied for first place with the Baltimore Ravens
yep.
in the AFC North. How are you feeling about your ball club right now?
We need some offense, man. I'm nervous about the offense. I mean, we got a big Monday night game against Cincinnati, which is going to be big. I mean, you know, you look at it, we should have beat Baltimore. We had that game and we just couldn't get a first down with a minute and a half left. We couldn't get one first down. So we should have beat Baltimore. I unfortunately was working, so I didn't get to see any of the New Orleans game. But you know, but that was just a debacle. So it's been tight, it's been close. But when it comes down to it, you know, I mean, I'm a firm believer. I'm a big offensive guy. I played quarterback my whole life, so I love offense. But it's defense, you know, it's defense that wins those championships. And
right.
I you know, our defense, as long as Troy's healthy, I mean, you know, one man doesn't make a team, but boy, are we a different team when Troy's out there. It's just, you know, so. So I feel okay. I mean, I want to put up a good showing against Cincy this weekend. I think if we could put some points on the board and our offense can come around, you know, we've got some injuries. We've got some big injuries. I mean, a couple injuries on the offensive line, and losing Aaron Smith for the season is a killer because he's such – people don't realize what he does on the defensive line, how he stops that run. But I feel good about our defense because we can always – you know, we're pretty good, and we've always been good at – someone gets hurt, we put someone in, and they end up breaking records for, you know, for stops.
I got to hear this from you, Corey. I got to know this now. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean,
go
like, you're blowing me away. Your knowledge base of the Steelers is immense, but your bio says you're from Rhode Island. You go to college in Massachusetts. You're a Boston Red Sox fan. Paul's going to ask you about the Celtics after I'm done bashing you because you're a Steelers fan. I looked at
yeah.
the same thing, and I was a little miffed myself.
Yep.
Now you're high energy, but how are you getting away? How is anybody letting you get away with this?
Yeah, I'm taking a beating from my family. I'll tell you that much. And you know what? Here's the deal. I grew up. I was always a Steelers fan, and you know the Patriots were always my second favorite team. Because let's face it, in the '80s,
they
the sucked. Patriots were never going to win a Super Bowl. Come on, Tony Eason and Steve Grogan, they were never going to win a Super Bowl, so you could always show for
their
second.
They got there 1986 against the Bears. They got beat up bad, but they got there.
Oh, they got there, you know, which was great, you know what I mean? Because that was like a miracle. You never thought that was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the Pats just start whipping tail, and they start doing it to my Steelers. So that's when it was like, you know what, I have no problem being from New England and being a huge Steelers fan, especially
wow.
when Belichick was taping all of our stuff, that AFC championship game was against us.
I know the nickname is Corey Live, but I might have to call you Corey Fraud.
Uh-oh. But, yeah, so I've, everywhere, every other team, I'm a huge – I'm a New England guy. I mean, I love the Sox. I love the Celtics. You know, I'm a Bruins fan, but I've always loved the Steelers. And like I said, every time we got our tails handed to us, it was always the hands of the Patriots, you know, as of late. So I just have a hard time with the Pats now. I just,
and what's so,
you know?
Take us to the Celtics really quick. We have a couple minutes left. They're certainly they got Shaq. They brought everyone back. Where do you see them going?
I don't know. I mean, if Rondo keeps throwing out 17 assists a game, I mean, are you kidding me last night? I mean, it was against the Pistons, but come on. I mean, Rondo, you know, they were talking about it today, and he's not an MVP, and they still have Garnett and Allen and Pierce, and now they've got Shaq, and you could put anybody at point guard and still be fine with those three. I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, Rondo, I mean, when you think about the game, the playoffs against Orlando and against Cleveland, Rondo was a game changer. You know, Rondo made a lot of things happen. He pushed a lot. So I feel real good. It's always the wild card's always injury with those guys. You know, with KG and Pierce, you're always scared for injury. And believe you know what, being a Celtics guy, I love Shaq. I mean, I you know, I'm not a Lakers fan at all, but I've always loved Shaq. I just love his comedy. He just doesn't take himself serious, and I don't think anybody should take themselves too serious, and I love that. So I just kind of like his energy on the team. So I think we could be a force this year.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's definitely going to come down to the Heat and the Celtics, I believe, in the East. And I guess you can mix in the Bulls as well. But, I mean, I think it's going to come down to the Heat and the Celtics. And right, I mean, in game one, the Celtics gave it to the Heat. But you look at the Heat right now, it seems like they're starting to get this thing together.
Yeah, it was good that we got him on game one. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
I was like, thank God we got him first game of the season because, yeah, they're going to get on a roll. They're going to do their thing. Let's face it. Come on, you're not gonna keep those guys down for long. You know, I was like, you know what? I would actually cheer for Cleveland to win the whole thing. I would love that. Could you imagine? I mean, they'll never do it. They'll never do it.
Right.
It's impossible. That's like the Browns, you know, winning a few more games. It's never going to happen. But, you know, it would be just hysterical. I mean, I would go all out. I'd buy a Cavs jersey. I would go all out if the Cavs were in there because that would just.
Well,
love
I don't
that
think that'll be happening anytime soon. So you
not
going to
happen.
You won't have to save your. You won't have to buy a Cavs jersey.
No, it won't be happening.
Now, Corey, we got a few minutes left with you now, sir. Speaking of those Boston Bruins, Jeremy, myself, we're both native Philadelphia guys.
Yep.
3-0 over the Flyers in the second round of the playoffs. You had them down. You were up 3-0. Somehow, some way, you found a way to lose that series.
Yeah.
How sick were you?
Pretty disgusted. I mean, if we didn't listen, the old standby is that we had, you know, we were down 3-0 to the Yankees and beat them. So I don't care what team from Boston, you know, blows it. We always have that to fall. I mean, I'll always have that to fall on. I'm like, well, that does stink. We lost to Philly. They came back. But remember when the Yankees were up 3-0 and we came back and beat them? We always have that one for some reason. But it does hurt. It hurts when you're, you know what I mean, when you've got someone on the ropes. But you know what? You know, you guys get to enjoy the feeling that we got when our team did it, you know? And it's a great feeling, right? I mean, it's a great feeling. It's not bad. But it's a good feeling to be on that side of it, to be like, man, you know, one of the best comebacks in sports. So it's, you know, but yeah, it was a little bit disheartening. Just a tad bit.
Well, Corey, we thank you for stopping by. We've been talking to Corey Almeida. Corey is the host of Picturica on the Hub Network. And when can we see Picturica?
Picturica is on Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Hub, which was formerly Discovery Kids. You can go to hubworld.com, and there's a channel locator there. You can find out exactly what channel. But Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern.
So make sure you check out Corey Almeida on Picturica. And
yeah,
he is Corey Live when he does the warm-ups for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. So make sure you check Corey out.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, guys.
Corey,
take
thank
care.
You for stopping by. We'd love to have you on in the future, sir.
We'll do it again soon, man. We'll talk playoffs.
All right. Lots of fun. Take care.
Take care, you guys.
All right.
All right, McNabb, Paul, you got to take us out of here.
We want to thank Corey Almeida for stopping by. Lots of fun, lots of energy. Make sure you check his show out on the Hub Network. The show is called Picturica, so make sure you check it out. Please do. He's a good guy, and we definitely enjoyed him tonight. Want to thank everybody who called. Want to thank everybody who listened. And again, you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan, where you can listen to this show and past shows. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gann. Hope all of you have a good week, and make sure you check us out on Twitter at GoForItGann. That's Twitter at GoForItGann, and also on Facebook at GoForIt.